Welcome to the New Life Seventh-day Adventist Church Podcast, where we elevate lives through the grace of Christ. We are located in Louisville, Kentucky, and our senior pastor is Jacques Francois. If you would like to connect with us, go to www.mynewlifesda.org. We pray this program is a blessing to you. God bless.
Precious Lord, we are enamored at your glory, your grace, your grandeur. Father, as we grope after you today, we know that our labor, our effort will not be in vain, because there is solace in your presence. There is peace that surpasses all understanding. There is guidance as to what our next step should be. Lord, you rain down favor, you rain down blessings. The songwriter says, as the praises goes up, God's blessings come down. And Lord, as our singers and our musicians led us into the space where we realize how great our God is, and as we proclaimed it from the top of our lungs, Lord, we could feel the blessings raining down before us. And so for that, we are grateful. We have transitioned into a new year from 2020 to 2021. And Lord, we can truly testify that you have been so good. You have attended our every single step. And for that, we are grateful. Now, Lord, we know that as we set our gaze upon your holy word, we know that in these fragile pages are words of life. And I ask, oh God, in a very special way, that we will not overlook any important detail, but that we will see you for who you truly are. Pray, God, that you will move upon our hearts and our minds even now, and that you will take away our carnality and give us a spirituality that surpasses anything that we have ever had before. Help us, oh God, to step outside of ourselves and to see what we would not have seen. Endow us with your Holy Spirit, oh God, so that you can lead us into all truth. And Father, we know that your word is truth. So please bless us, we do pray. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Today, I just wanted to take some time to wish you a happy new year. We have made that transition from 2020 to 2021. And I was just sharing with someone earlier today that it feels as though we barely made it, that we limped along into 2021, but God is still on the throne. And no matter if we just barely made it across, as long as we made it across the finish line, that's all that matters. When we run the great race of life, we will not cross the finish line at full steam. But if we can just crawl across the finish line, as long as we get across, that's all that matters. I just want to take some time to thank our singers and our musicians, not just for what they have done today, but they have been so diligent and so faithful. Even as we went to the tail end of 2020, we did the Christmas program, the Christmas Day church service, and we did our Christmas Eve, our New Year's Eve rather, service. And our singers and our musicians were still faithful, and they came, they served, they contributed their gifts and their talents, so that the body of Christ could be edified and blessed. And for that, I am truly grateful. I just wanted to mention a few things before we go into our sermonic time together. Our theme for 2021 is connected. Our theme is connected. We will be connected to Christ, connected to church, and connected to community. Our theme is connected. So this year, we're going to be looking for every single opportunity to be connected in the best way possible that we can. And this theme connected is not just our theme for the year, but it's also a part of our spiritual plan for the church. We have a 4-year spiritual plan, and this is the first year of that spiritual plan. And this first year is connected. Now, next year, the second phase of our spiritual plan will be committed. So we want to be committed to Christ, committed to church, and committed to community. So this year we're connected. Next year we will be committed. The third year of our spiritual journey, we will be consecrated. We will be consecrated. And then the last year of our 4-year spiritual growth plan, we will serve as catalysts. We want to be catalysts for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want to be catalysts for kindness, catalysts for goodness, compassion. We just want to be catalysts for everything that entails the goodness and the grace of Jesus the Christ. So this year we are connected to Christ, connected to church, connected to community. And one last thing, and this is more so an announcement, please do not forget that we will be having our virtual communion service on next Sabbath. So today, as well as next Sabbath, you can come and get your communion kits, and that way we will be able to participate and share the goodness and the grace that comes through the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's tree, his broken body, as well as his spilled blood. So please come by the church today to get your communion kits. Also, if you can't come today, please come next Sabbath. You can also receive your communion kit. We will have our virtual communion service right after our virtual worship service on next Sabbath, which is January the 9th. And if you are in a situation where you cannot come and get your communion kit, please let us know and we will bring you your communion kit just so that everyone in the body of Christ can participate in our virtual communion service. So with that said, we just want to dive right into the word of the Lord. We are continuing our journey through 1 Chronicles, and today we are looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And I want us to hone in on verses 1 and 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and we're looking at verses 1 and 2, but we're going to take as our consideration the verses 1 through 15, but we want to set the stage by looking at verses 1 and 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And I would like to read in your hearing, and I'm reading from the New King James rendering. The word of the Lord says, "Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to David, 'Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you.'" Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. Today, as the Spirit gives me power, and as Jesus lead, and as God the Father smiles, I would like to speak to you from the subject, what God has in mind. What God has in mind. In this passage of Scripture, and as you read the first few verses, you would realize that David, the king, has some things in mind. David was in his house, the Bible says, and the Bible lets us know that as David did some inventory, he looked around and he came to the realization that the house that he dwelt in was far different from the house that the Ark of the Covenant was in. And David, as you would realize, from the time that he is introduced to us in this book, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you see a king who has this insatiable need not only to be with God, but also to attend to the things of God. David is in direct contrast to the previous king, King Saul. King Saul did not care about the things of God. King Saul did not care if he was in the presence of God. And King Saul did not even make any effort to be obedient to God. King Saul was in direct contrast to David. And after so much time as with King Saul on the throne, we see a diametrically different king in King David. King David wanted to be with God. King David wanted to obey God. King David wanted to give attention to the things of God. King David, though powerful as he was, by the time we get to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, King David now wanted God to be in a better space. The Bible tells us that David in chapter 16 had erected a tent to hold the very presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was to be housed under this tent. But when we get to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, King David now begins to become self-conscious about the fact that he dwelt in a house of cedar, but God dwelt in tent curtains. But we see David doing something very interesting. David then tells Nathan the prophet what is on his mind, what he had in mind. He says to Nathan the prophet in verse number 2, he says, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent curtain. Nathan the prophet, he understands immediately what David is getting at, because Nathan the prophet also realizes that yes, the king does reside in a house made from cedar, and the presence of the Almighty God, the God who made heaven and earth, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who delivered his people when they were in danger, the God who opened up the land that they were brought to, the same God who made a covenant with his people, was in a tent curtain. And so one is, of course, tempted to think, how can the king, the servant of God, be in such a palatial place when God himself is in such a low esteem? And so David now is subconscious or conscious of the fact, and he says to Nathan the prophet, he says, look, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains. And Nathan was of the opinion that what David had in mind was noble and it was of high esteem. And he says to David, he says, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. Now, there is a certain part of this particular statement that was true. God was actually with David. But God did not command David to do what was in his heart. And this particular lesson lets us know that we have to walk softly even when we are trying to climb to high esteem. When we have in our heart to do something that is noble, there are times that what is on our mind is purposeful and it is noble and it is true and it is awesome. It is something that we should engage in, but it's not about what we have in mind. Ultimately, it's about what God has in mind. David has some things in mind, but God has something else in mind, because when we get to verse number 3, the Bible tells us that that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan the prophet, and it said to Nathan, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another, wherever I moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus says the Lord to my servant David, I took you from the sheepfold. Listen, children of God, as I read this, as I studied this, as I meditated upon this passage of scripture, there was something that I realized, and that is this. It is that we should be more concerned about what God has in mind. What we have in mind at times, it is noble, it is honest, it is lofty, it is of high esteem, and that is good, and that is one thing, but at the end of the day, it should be about what God has in mind. In this particular passage of scripture, we will realize just from the first few verses, that David did have some things in mind. But as we read further, we will also realize that God has some things in mind. And before we begin to explore what God has in mind, there is a particular theology that becomes very obvious as we listen to the word of the Lord as he is relating them to the prophet Nathan. He says, go tell my servant David in verse number 4, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not lived or dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? And, you know, honestly, I was a little curious as I read this passage of scripture, and my curiosity asked this particular question. Why is it that God never really demanded of his people that they build him a better house? Why is it that God was content with living in a tent? Why didn't he mind going from one tent to another tent and from one tabernacle or housing to another tabernacle? Why is it that God, in all of Israel's glorious history, had he never, ever asked God's people to build him a palatial palace? And I realized that if we go back a little further from the moment that God first asked Moses to build him a tent, he says to Moses, build me a tabernacle so that I may dwell with my people. That word dwell literally means to pitch a tent. And ironically, the first dwelling place for God, or the immediate presence of God, for the Ark of the Covenant of God, was actually a tent. But if you follow Israel through their history, especially when they were in the wilderness after they had been emancipated from Egypt, you would realize that the cloud by day and the fire by night was the onus or the main mechanism that led the children of God from place to place. When the cloud by fire or the cloud by day moved, or if the fire by night moved, all of Israel had to move. And whenever they went on the move, guess what? They had to break down the tent. They had to pack up all the staves and all the stakes, and they had to move all the curtains along with them. And whenever the cloud by day and the fire by night stopped, that's when they stopped. And guess what? The priest then had to repitch the tent. They had to drive the stakes back down in the ground. They had to take the staffs and they had to lift up the tent. They had to hang the curtains all over again and then bring the Ark of the Covenant of God back into the dwelling place. But the one advantage that the tent had over any brick and mortar building was this: it allowed God to move whenever it was time for God's people to move. In other words, God was flexible. If he was in a brick and mortar building, God could not be as flexible as he wanted to be. And I don't know about you, but I need a flexible God. I need a God who can move with me whenever I have to move. I need a God who can go with me wherever I have to go. If I have to go to the ends of the earth, like the psalmist says, I need a God who can go to the ends of the earth with me. If I have to take the wings of an eagle and command the eagle to fly away, I need a God who can fly away with me. If I make my bed down in the depths of hell, I need a God who can go down into the depths with me. If I have to languish in a trench, if I have to be in a ditch, I need a God who is flexible enough to be in that ditch and in that trench with me. I need a God who can be flexible. And so God is now chiding Nathan, and he is telling Nathan, I need you to go back, and I need you to reverse the impression that you gave to King David. You told King David that he could do whatever is in his heart, whatever is on his mind, but I want you to let him know that I got something else in mind. He says, I never complained about going from tent to tent. There was never a time that I commanded any of the leaders of Israel to build me a house of cedar. And here is the main message that we will find in this passage of scripture. Although we have something in mind, God has something else in mind. But here is the thing. What does God have in mind? God has you in mind. That is what is on God's mind. God has you in mind. And if we were to ask a question of the text, what is it that God have in mind for us? The first thing that we will find in this passage of scripture is that God has in mind to enlarge our responsibility. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. It says, now therefore, this is still God speaking to the prophet Nathan, telling him to go back and tell David these things. He says in verse number 7, he says, now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And so it is very strange that God now reminds David where he brought him from. God brings up the fact that he found David not in the palace, but he found him in the pasture. And this is very important because the pasture was not an easy place to be in. The pasture was a very difficult place. It was a place where you literally experience all the ups and downs of life. One day there were green grass for the sheep to eat from. There was another day that it was a dearth of earth. There was nothing green, and therefore the shepherd had to make a move along with the flock to another pasture, but there was no guarantee that wherever they moved that they would find green grass. So they experienced literally the ups and downs of life. And the truth of the matter is, beloved, we do find ourselves in the pasture land. But here is our mistake. We tend to downplay or discount the pasture. when the pastor is a very important tool in our development. And God has in mind for us the things that we will gain from the pastor. Meaning, the things that God wants to do for us, it will start in the pastor. The things that God wants to elevate us to, the places that he wants to elevate us to, it will begin in the most difficult places of life. You see, in the pasture, the shepherd was always isolated. There was nobody in the pasture land but he and a flock of sheep who could not talk back to him. It was a flock of sheep that he always had to serve, but they never served him. He was always giving to the sheep in the pasture, but there was nobody in the pasture to give to him. He always had to look out for the sheep in the pasture, but there was never anyone in the pasture to look out for the shepherd. There were days that the shepherd felt like a failure, and there was nobody in the pasture to console him, to pat him on the back, and to tell him that he was doing a good job. There were moments that the wolves would attack, and the shepherd had to find a way to fend off the wolves. There were moments where the lions or the bears would set their eyes or set their gaze on the sheep, and the shepherd had to face danger in order to protect the shepherd. So the pasture was not an easy place to be. But God mentions the pasture to let David know that he brought him from the pasture to the palace, but God found him in the pasture. God did not find David in the best place in life. God did not find David after he had accomplished his full potential. God did not find David doing the thing that he was designed to do. No, God found David in the pasture. That means that God saw some value in the pasture, because if he did not find value in the pasture, he would not have gone looking for the next king in the pasture. And I want you to know, children of God, today, that wherever we are located right now, we may diminish where we are located right now, but God does not discount where we are right now, because if God did not find value where we are right now, God would not bother to look for us where we are right now. One of my favorite movies from when I was a little boy was The Karate Kid. A few weeks ago, I attempted to show this movie to my children, but I did not remember that the movie has some explicit language, so I could not show them the entire movie. I eventually had to cut it off. But my memories of the movie was different than what I saw on the TV screen the other day. There was this character, the main character, Daniel's son. And Daniel's son went to this new school. His mom had just moved he and her to California. And as a consequence, he had to go to a new school. And while he was there, he was being picked on by a group of young men who knew karate. And they would use every opportunity to use their karate on him. And so Daniel got to the point where he wanted to find a way to stand up to these young men, and there was a gentleman who was the custodian of the building that he lived in called Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi knew karate, and eventually Mr. Miyagi would come to the point where he would teach Daniel how to use karate. So Mr. Miyagi called Daniel, Daniel's son. So Mr. Miyagi said, Daniel's son, I want you to meet me here first thing in the morning. I'm going to teach you karate. And so Daniel's son comes. He's all excited. He's about to learn karate. And he comes to this yard where there's all these cars in the yard. And Mr. Miyagi gives him a bucket of water and a sponge. And he says, I want you to wash and to wax all of these cars. He says, but I want you to do it in a certain motion. He says, when you're waxing, I want you to wax on and wax off. Wax on with your right hand and wax off with your left hand. And he said, I want you to wax all of these cars. And it took Daniel's son all day into the late night to clean and to wax all these cars. So then Mr. Miyagi comes out. He says, you did a wonderful job. He says, now I want you to go home and get some rest, and I want you to meet me here first thing in the morning. Daniel's son comes back, and the next day, Mr. Miyagi now has a different assignment for him. He is buffing his deck when Daniel's son shows up. And then he says, I'm so glad that you're here. He says, I want you to do another motion where you are now buffing the platform for me. So Daniel's son does the thing, and he works late into the night, and Mr. Miyagi says, you did a good job. I want you to go home, and I want you to come back first thing in the morning. And Daniel's son is now wondering. He's like, wait a minute. I'm doing all this work around Mr. Miyagi's house, but he has not taught me any karate yet. So the next morning, Daniel's son comes back. Mr. Miyagi takes him to this fence, and he tells him, I want you to paint the fence. He says, I want you to go up, and I want you to go down. And he says, the big pieces of board, I want you to go up and down with your right hand. And with your left hand, I want you to go up and down on the small pieces of board. And Daniel does that. And then he's getting more and more frustrated because he feels that what he is doing does not have any value. So the next day, Daniel's son, he's all upset. And he says, Mr. Miyagi, I'm doing all this work, but the agreement was that you were going to teach me how to do karate. He says, I am not coming back. And so Mr. Miyagi says, Daniel's son, come here. He says, I want you to show me wax on and wax off. So then Daniel's son, he shows him the wax on and the wax off motion. He says, I want you now to show me how to wax the decks. And so Daniel's son shows him the motion to wax the deck with both hands. Then he says, I want you to show me the paint the fence. So Daniel's son lifts up his hand up and he lifts it down. He shows him the motion of paint the fence. Then Mr. Miyagi begins to throw punches at Daniel's son. And next thing you know, through muscle memory, Daniel's son blocks all of Mr. Miyagi's punches. And it was at that moment that Daniel's son realized two things. Number one, he realized that all along he was learning karate. But secondly, he realized the value of the wax on, the wax off, and the paint the fence. Children of God, what we are going through right now may appear that there is no value, but I want you to know right now that before God moves us from the pasture to the palace, God needs us to understand that there is value in the pasture. And I would even conjecture to you today that it may appear that the responsibility that we have right now is very menial, but before God can enlarge or expand our responsibility, we have to find value in our pasture. Children of God, what does God have in mind for us? God wants to enlarge our responsibility. Now, I want you to know that these things that God has in store for us, it is very dangerous. Because in order for us to receive exactly what God has in store for us and what God has in mind for us, it takes a level of spiritual maturity. Let me explain, because the second point, I was trying to find a way around this second point, but because it's in the text, I got to preach it. The second thing that God has in mind for us is to exterminate our enemies. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. When I realized it from the text, I was uncomfortable with the idea, and I had to find a way to say it to you without it sounding so terrible. But the truth of the matter is, I could not get away from the truth of the text. In verse number 8, the Bible tells us, this is still God speaking, and I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Children of God, that word cut off is a very violent term, and in the original Hebrew, it literally means to exterminate. But now here's where the spiritual maturity comes into place, because the one thing that I do not want the beloved children of God to do, the one thing that I do not want the blood washed, blood bought children of God to do, is to go and put a bounty on the head of those who do not like you. I do not want anyone to take out a hit on those who are pushing against you. Because the first thing I need you to understand is that, number one, it is God who is doing the action. It is not David doing the action. Rather, it is God who is going before him, and it is God who is taking care of his enemies. And I also want us to understand something about the life of David as we flesh out this theology. One of the things that you will understand about David, especially when you read his life, is that David had one primary adversary. There was one prominent enemy that David had in his life, and that enemy was the previous king, the king that he took over the throne for, the king by the name of Saul. Saul was David's most prominent adversary. Saul was always on the heels of King David. Saul was trying to take David out, to the point where David was running as a fugitive from King Saul. And this is after David had been anointed king. David went on a run from King Saul, and there were two instances where David had the opportunity to end King Saul's life. And there was one prominent instance where David was in the cave of Adullam, and in that cave, David was hiding out, he and his men, from Saul's forces. And the Bible tells us that King Saul knew that David was somewhere in that wilderness called En-Gedi, and he passed by this cave, and the Bible says that he needed to take care of some of his personal needs. Now, we know what that means. And so King Saul made his way into the cave to take care of his needs. But he did not know that David and his men were in that cave. And the Bible tells us that when King Saul made his way in that cave, that David's men saw King Saul, and they said to Dave, they whispered, they says, "Now the Lord has given King Saul into your hands. You can do with him as you please." The Bible tells us that King David goes and he cuts off a piece of King Saul's garment while he is relieving himself. King Saul, not knowing that David had even cut off a piece of his garment, he arose after taking care of himself and made his way out of the cave. The Bible tells us that guilt came over David. David felt bad for cutting off a piece of King Saul's garment. He runs out of the cave. "My Lord, the king." He brings to King Saul, he brings to his attention that he could have ended his life, but because David feared the fact that King Saul was God's anointed, he would not lay a hand on God's anointed. And children of God, what am I saying to us today? That even though God has in mind to remove our enemies, we should not act, we should not lift a finger, do not call up anybody and tell them to come and take care of your enemy, do not put a hit out on anyone's life, do not put a bounty on anyone's head, don't you dare pray a prayer asking God to take out your enemy. You better remain still and let God do the rest. I have a nephew. When he was a little boy, he got into this altercation with another young man. And it was so funny and it was so cute to a certain extent because we have a cousin in our family who carries guns. He loves guns. As a matter of fact, all he talks about are guns. And he is always looking for an opportunity to use his gun. And everyone in our family knows that this particular cousin wants to use his gun. Even the youngest people in our family know this. So my nephew, he got into this altercation. He was a little boy at the time. And then he says to the person who he was having this argument with, he says, "If you don't leave me alone, my cousin is going to die you. Leave me alone or my cousin is going to die you." And children of God, some of us are just like my little nephew. When we get into a situation where someone is raising up a standard against us, when they are working against us, when they are trying to undermine us, when it is obvious that they do not like us, when they hate us with a vile hatred, well, we are tempted to ask somebody to die them. But children of God, don't you dare. You better stay meek and lowly. You better understand that Jesus said, that God said, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It does not make any sense for us to engage in any battles that were not designed for us to battle. We better pray the prayer of Moses and that of King Jehoshaphat, and we better understand that we need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We have to understand that not all battles were meant for us to fight. There are some battles that God says you shall not fight in this battle because this battle does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. But children of God, I want you to understand that while God wants to remove our enemies, let God do the moving and let us just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Children of God, do you begin to see why these things that God wants to do in our lives are so dangerous? Because even when God comes and finds us in our pasture, the dangerous part of God wanting to enlarge our responsibility is the fact that God does not discount our pasture when we discount it. Do you realize that just because you are in that place in life that you do not find pleasant, that you do not find ideal, you want to esteem to higher and better places? And guess what? There is nothing wrong with ambition. But the problem with ambition is if we do not check it by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will lead us to do some vile things. Children of God, don't discount your pasture because God finds value in the pasture. So therefore, our prayer should be, Lord, what is it that you're trying to teach me while I am in this pasture? What is the value of the ups and the downs that I am going through? What is the value of the setbacks and the disappointments that I am experiencing? Because if not, the pasture and our ambition to rise to higher responsibility can become dangerous to the Christian. And also knowing that God wants to remove our enemies, that can be dangerous too, because we are tempted to act ahead of God and do things to undermine our enemies when God is at work. As a matter of fact, just this morning I heard a sermon that says that we do not shine when we do something to somebody else. But rather, when God takes care of the matter for us, that is when we shine because God is always at work. So the first thing that God wants to do or have in mind for us is that God wants to enlarge our responsibility. Secondly, God wants to exterminate our enemies. And lastly, God wants to exalt our name. Listen to verse number 8, the second part of verse number 8. The Bible tells us that after God says to Nathan to tell David that he is going to cut off his enemies, listen to what God says. He says, "And I have made you a name like the name of the great men who who are on earth. Children of God, remember what I said, that there is nothing wrong with ambition, but unchecked ambition. Ambition that is not informed by the Holy Ghost can be dangerous not only to us, but it can be dangerous to others around us. Listen to this. We all, in some way or some fashion, some form, we all want to be known. We all want to be appreciated. All of us desire some level of accolades. We want some type of affirmation. And David was no different. David wanted a great name. But listen to this, children of God. God says to him, "This is what I have in mind for you, and I am going to exalt your name." Children of God, we let God do the work because God is always working in the background. And God told David, he says, "I want to exalt your name." I think about when David was called to the front of the battlefield and Goliath was spewing out his threats against the army of God. And David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is speaking out against the armies of the Most High God?" David says, "I will go and fight the giant. I will go and fight Goliath," because David was careful about God's honor, and he was concerned about God's honor on that battlefield that day. The Bible tells us that David went and with five smooth stones in his hand and a slingshot and a wing and a prayer, David went on that battlefield, and with all of his might, he wound that slingshot up, and he threw that pebble of stone, and with Holy Ghost power, that stone struck Goliath right in the middle of the forehead. Goliath fell, and David took his sword out of his sheath, and he cut Goliath's head off. And the Bible says that as David made his way into the city, that the people of God began to sing, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. See, David did not have to be the one that initiated the exaltation of his name. David just happened to be in the right place at the right time, because the truth of the matter is, David was only there because his father sent him with some lunch to give to his brothers and to see how they were faring in the battle. David was not seeking any glory, but God put him in the right place at the right time. And I'm going to tell you today, children of God, that this resonated with me, because I remember some years ago when I was a student in school, I was working at this place that made sub sandwiches. I worked at this place where we made sub sandwiches. And one day I was at work, and normally I am on the make line. I was in the back. I was the one making the sandwich. I was never seen. I was never heard from. No one ever laid eyes on me. I was out of everyone's view because I was in the back on the make line making sandwiches. Well, on this particular day, we had a shortage of staff, and it forced me to have to man the make line and the cash register. So I'm going to the cash register, I'm taking orders, I'm running back in the back to the make line, making the sandwiches, and then I'm running back to the cash register, taking orders, I'm running back, making the orders, and then I went out to the cash register. There was a lady in my line, and she said, "Did anyone ever tell you that you have a radio voice?" I said, "I've heard that many times." She said, "Yeah, you need to be on the radio." She says, "By the way, my name is such and such, and I'm the general manager of the radio station." She hands me her card, and she says, "We are having a reading for new radio personalities on Monday. Why don't you come and read some lines for us and audition for the radio station?" Sure enough, Monday morning I went down there and I read some lines and I was hired on the spot. And this radio station happened to be Oakwood University's radio station, and I worked at that radio station for 5 years. And at that time, our tagline at the radio station was "The Light of the Tennessee Valley." Listen, children of God, God found me on a make line at a sub shop. And God elevated me to the point where my voice became one of the voices of the Tennessee Valley. God exalted my name. Do you realize I was a shy and in the background type of person when I was in college? But after working at the radio station, everybody on campus knew my name. People knew me who I did not even know. Why? Because God exalted my name. And children of God, let me tell you something. You don't have to be the one pushing your way to the front of the line, because if you stay true to God, God will exalt your name. Now, I got to tell you this, and then I'm going to take my seat, because these three things that God wants to do for us, one thing has to be in place, and this is where we come in. Listen to this, saints. God has in mind to enlarge our responsibility. In other words, God wants to take us from one place and take us to a higher place. God wants to enlarge what we do. God wants to add prestige to what we do in life. God has in mind to enlarge our responsibilities in life. David started out with a flock of sheep, and God elevated him to the point where he was now the shepherd of an entire nation. God wants to enlarge our responsibility. That's what God has in mind for us. And let me say this. God, in my opinion, sent this passage of scripture at a timely fashion, because here we are, the first Sabbath in 2021, and we are wondering, what does God have in store for us in 2021? And I want to tell you that God wants to enlarge your responsibility in 2021. Now, I want you to know this is by the Holy Ghost, because I did not plan to preach this passage this Sabbath. I decided some weeks ago to preach through 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and 1 Chronicles. And here it is. We ended on chapter 17, the first Sabbath of the new year. And here it is. God is showing us what he wants us to do in 2021, what he has in store for us in 2021. So here's the first thing. God has in mind to enlarge our responsibility in 2021. Secondly, saints, God will move your enemies out of your way in 2021. Don't put out a hit on anyone. Don't put a bounty on anyone's head. Let God move, let God work, let God have his way, and God will take care of the rest. And thirdly, God wants to exalt your name. More people will know who you are in 2021 than they did in 2020. But now here's the one thing that we got to have in place, and this is where we come into play. Now remember, this is what God has in mind. This is the thing that we must have in place. We must be serious about attending to the things of God. Y'all got quiet on me. I heard the online space get quiet on me. Because if you go to the palm reader will tell you that certain things are guaranteed, and all you got to do is this. The tarot card reader will tell you that this is in the cards. When you open up the Sunday section and decide to go and read whatever your zodiac sign is for the week, it will tell you that these things are promised to you, and usually without any condition. Saints of the living God, I want you to promise me one thing. Stay away from the tarot card readers. Stay away from the palm readers. And I don't care what your zodiac sign is, because in God's eye, we are all children of God. We are not Aquarius and Sagittarius and Pisces and Aries. Forget that. We are children of the Most High God. That is our sign. Stay away from the Sunday section trying to look for what God has in store for you. Read your Bible and pray and ask God what he has in store for you. Now, here's the one thing that we all have to attend to. We must be serious about attending to the things of God. Otherwise, God may have it in mind, but it may not come to fruition. Let me say that again. God may have it in mind, but if we are not serious about attending to the things of God, it may not come to fruition. Let me explain, and I'm going to take my seat. Do you realize that the king that sat on the throne before David did, the king also had a lot of promise, a lot of potential, and a lot of possibility? It was God who sent Samuel to the tribe of Benjamin to go and look for Saul, to one of the sons of Kish. God told Samuel to go and get Saul and anoint Saul. And God very much had a lot of potential in mind for King Saul. But King Saul, during his reign, was never serious about the things of God. And as a result, he fell out of favor with God. But David, when you read the trajectory of David's life, the one thing you would notice about David is that David was always serious about the things of God. Now, let me say this. When you compare King David to King Saul, do you realize that a lot of things that King David did, King Saul did not do? Let me say it differently. David did a lot more treacherous things than King Saul did. You never read in the biblical record where King Saul took another man's wife, had the husband killed by putting him on the front line. You never read that about King Saul. King David did numerous atrocities. But notice, David has something that King Saul did not have. King David always had a heart for the things of God. Even when God was reaching out to King Saul, Saul always rejected his grace, but David always took advantage of God's grace. Even when King Saul did something wrong, he always showed remorse. He never showed remorse, but King David always got to the point where he showed remorse. And notice, that's why God was able to refer to David as a man after his own heart. The one thing that David had was the right heart. And children of God, God has some things in mind for us, just like he did for King David, but they will only come into fruition if we develop the right heart for the things of God. Don't shun God's grace in 2021. Don't shun God's mercy in 2021. If God wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, don't think it's because you just cannot sleep. It's God calling you, asking you to get down on your knees and spend a little more time in prayer. Open up your Bible and study the Holy Writ of God. When someone comes in your pathway and it's obvious that they need an encounter of to God, you need to say, well, God sent this person to me so that I can be a conduit and a means by which they will have an encounter with God. When God sends opportunity, don't shun it because it's not what you're looking for. Understand that God is at work and God will do the things for you that he has in mind if we are serious about the things of God. And children of God, let me tell you how we're going to live 2021. We're going to live it understanding that God has some things in mind for us. But we're going to also live it understanding that I'm going to do everything in my power to attend to the things that are important to God, because when I realize or when I live a life that shows that God, what God desires is important to me, God will enlarge your responsibility. God will take care of your enemies, and God will elevate your name. And most of all, children of God, most of all, most importantly, what God has in mind is our salvation. Children of God, let me tell you this. The scripture says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his very soul? Children of God, God can take you to the mountaintop. God will even move your enemies out your way. God will make you famous and make you popular. God will make you the go-to person when someone needs prayer. God will make you the person that people think of when they need a word from the Lord. God will do that for you. But remember what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I want to preach the gospel, but Lord, lest I myself find myself being a castaway. I remember there's a gentleman who I love and respect. Every time he prays, he always asks God, Lord, please save us by the same gospel that we preach. Children of God, you can prosper. You can thrive here on planet Earth. But what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world but lose their very soul? God has in mind to save us. But here's the unfortunate thing, children of God. From our reading and our understanding of the biblical text and the scriptures, we understand that not everyone will make that decision to make eternity their final and ultimate destination. Some will start the race, and some will get bewildered as the race unfolds. Some of us will get close to the finish line, and we will capitulate at the last moment. Some of us will not even enter the race. We will not even step foot on the track of life. But at the end of the day, saints, God's intention, what God has in mind, is to save us and to offer us eternal life. So the question is today, the question is not what do we have in mind. The question is, what does God have in mind? Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're grateful as we launch out into 2021. We understand, oh Lord, that 2020, we can look back and we can see those challenges, those tough moments, and yet there were blessings still. But Lord, we did not envision our 2020 to unfold as it did. We did not foresee a global pandemic. When we were casting our vision and setting our New Year's resolutions in 2019, we never anticipated that over 20 million Americans alone would be infected with coronavirus. We did not foresee that over 330,000 individuals would succumb to this deadly virus. We did not anticipate that social unrest would reach a feverish pitch. We did not know. And Lord, that's just social unrest, and that's just a pandemic. That's not including those who lost loved ones to cancer, to heart attacks, to various diseases, to car crashes. That does not include all those who lost their jobs and lost their source of income, those whose status in life drastically changed literally in a moment. Father, all these things took place in 2020. And Lord, now that we are in 2021, we still have that same hope that we did when we started 2020. But Lord, this time we're just asking and we're hoping that the worst is behind us and that our hopes and our dreams could be elevated and come to the forefront once again. And while we understand, Lord, that times will continue to get worse, they will not get better. But Lord, we're just asking that even in the midst of the clouds, that there would be moments that your sunshine will pierce through. And Lord, as we set our gaze as to what you desire for us in 2021, Lord, help us to be faithful to the things that you have laid out before us. So Lord, if you want us to be a witness, help us to be the best witness that we can. If you want us to serve, help us to serve with our very best. If you want us to love more, help us to love. If you want us to give, to sacrifice, whatever you are calling us to do, Lord, help us to give, help us to sacrifice. Lord, put a song in our heart so that we can sing. Put the song of Zion on our lips, oh God. I pray, Father, that we will dive more deeply into your word, that we will spend more time in our closets, oh God, in prayer. And I pray, Father, that 2021 will be drastically different. And even if our material fortunes does not change, Lord, may we be more spiritually astute in 2021. May we have a greater understanding of the will of God. May we be closer to divinity. And Lord, may our calling and election be made sure. And I pray for your people, Lord, wherever they may be. And so, Lord, I understand that this is a perfect time for us to renew our commitment to thee. And so, Lord, you have some things in mind. And Father, we want to experience all those things that you have. So, Lord, under the sound of my voice, I am extending the call to all those who are on our online platforms. If you hear the call of God and you understand that God has something magnificent, something magnanimous in store for you in 2021, and you want to take hold of all that God has in store, and you realize that you might be too far away from God, you may not be where you need to be. So, this call goes out to you, and you realize that you need to connect with God in a more profound way. We're asking that you allow us to journey with you. Please go to our website, www.mynewlifesda.org. Click on our connect button at the bottom of the page, and there you can fill out the form and let us know how we can support and journey with you. We want to be connected to Christ this year. We want to be connected to the church. We want to be connected to community. So we want to connect with you, and we're asking that you will connect with us and connect with Christ ultimately. So please, if you need Bible study, please indicate it on the form. If you need special prayer, please indicate it on the form. If you need baptism, please indicate it on the form. And if you just want to transfer your membership, you can indicate that as well. As we connect with one another and as we endeavor to connect with Christ, we just want to journey with one another. We want to support each other. We want to encourage one another. We want to pray for one another. We want to lift each other up. So if that's you, please do that. www.mynewlifesda.org. Click that connect button at the bottom of the page and connect with us so that we can connect with you. And O God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who rained down manna from on high, the God who spewed water out of the rock. We're just asking, O Lord, that now you will bless us and keep us. Thank you, O God, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that we be attentive to your call. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.